Turn with me, if you would, to page 43 in the Penguin edition, this edition, the official edition that we're looking at. You remember that Christian has lost his burden. He's come to the tomb and his burden rolls off from his back, rolls into the sepulchre, disappears, never to be seen again. And three shining ones come to him. The first says to him, "Your sins are forgiven you." The second says to him, gives to him a change of raiment, a change of clothes, representing the perfect, spotless robe of Christ's righteousness. The negative and positive of salvation. Our sins are forgiven. The righteousness of Christ is reckoned to our account. It's Bunyan putting into allegorical form 2 Corinthians 5. "He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be reckoned the righteousness of God in him." And then the third shining one gives to him a sealed roll, or if you like, a parchment that is sealed, and it represents his assurance that he is in a right relationship, a right standing with God. Now, this is going to become important in the tale that we're about to unfold this evening. But I wanted to point out to you that at the end of that little section, when his burden has rolled away, his sins have been forgiven, the righteous robe has been given to him, and the sealed parchment of assurance is his, Bunyan says, then Christian gave three leaps for joy and went on singing, "Thus far I did come, laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me." Now, not all of Bunyan's poetry is of the same standard, and if truth be told, there's not a little doggerel in Bunyan's poetry, but that represents, I think, one of the best pieces of Bunyan's poetry. But it says something to us, and I wanted to point this out before we begin the tale tonight, that at many times in this tale, and do remember that Bunyan is telling this tale when he's in prison. In his 12 years in prison, Christian is always bursting into song. And I think that A says something about Bunyan and the kind of man that he was. And I do think that he responded to adversity, praising God for it. I think in his own personality, Bunyan was that way. But I also think Bunyan is saying to you and to me, whenever we think about the cross, whenever we think about what it means to be a Christian, you should give three leaps for joy and burst into song. Imagine if Dr. Cole was here tonight. Imagine the transformation, A, that would do to our day-to-day living of the gospel, but imagine the transformation that would do on a Sunday morning if we all just made three leaps for joy and then burst into our opening hymn of praise. Well, I wanted to point that out. I think that says something very profound about what singing you know, this gift of song. And I don't think the Bible or Bunyan means that you've got to be a great singer. I stood next to an elder in a former church, a former church, who I loved dearly. I loved dearly. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. But he could not hold a tune to save his life. And at the communion table, he would be sitting next to me, and he would sing, not loudly, because he was aware that he was off key and certainly out of tune. But I loved to hear him sing, because his eyes would half close, and you knew as he was singing, not a single note of it was correct, but the spirit of his heart was that this released in him just so much praise and worship. Now, we pursue the journey, and Christian turns around, his burden has gone. He walks a little way toward what is a hill. And if you've got your map, you can remind yourself there's a hill here called Difficulty. And at the bottom of the hill, but I think within sight of the cross, Bunyan describes three characters. One is called sloth, one is called simple, and one is called presumption. They're fast asleep, and they are manacled by their feet. Now, these three, remember this is an allegory, these three are on the way to the celestial city. They have found themselves on the way, but Christian has to wake them up and reprove them and chastise them, warn them that there are dangers about. And Simple says, I see no danger. And Slothful says, well, in the text, he says, every fat must stand upon his own bottom, which sounds kind of rude. And I think it probably was rude, but it actually translated into modern English. It's a kind of proverb. Fat in the 17th century meant fool. And basically what Slothful is saying is, mind your own business. And presumption doesn't say anything at all. Now, what is Bunyan saying? Bunyan is saying to us, here are three people. They are on the road that leads to the celestial city. They think that they are Christians. They think that they are believers. But the Christian life is a serious thing. It's not a thing to be taken lightly. It's not a thing to find yourself going to sleep over. This is the most serious thing of all. You know, there are professing Christians, and they get very upset if you begin to expound the scriptures. They just want simple things. Actually, in today's world, they just want a few sports illustrations and short sermons, and let's get this over with as quickly as possible, and we can all get on with things that really matter. Or professing Christians who think that religion is really something private, and it's none of your business, and it's not even the business of the church or of other professing Christians, or least of all ministers, to interfere in their lives and tell them what they should and shouldn't be doing. It's a personal matter. So right at the very beginning of this journey, Bunyan, and I can't help but think, you know, Bunyan knew these people. You know, he'd met these people. He's describing this from his pastoral experience. Do you know somebody whom you could describe as simple? It isn't just that they want the A, B's and C's. They just want the A's, and maybe not every day of the week. Do you know somebody who you could describe as slothful? They're not serious about the Christian life. Or presumption, and we'll come back to characters that will be very much like presumption later in the journey. But Bunyan is saying, look, just because somebody says that they're a Christian, just because somebody surrounds themselves or puts themselves in the geography of those who are Christians, doesn't mean to say that they are actually Christians. That's what he's saying. He's saying you need to run with perseverance. You need to run with endurance the race that is set before you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Or else, you might find yourself having heard the word of truth. You might find yourself having what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 2, slipped your moorings. It's a picture of somebody on a boat, but they haven't tied the boat properly, and they've gone to sleep, and they've woken up, and they've found that the boat has actually slipped its moorings, and it's drifted out to sea. And Bunyan is saying, wake up. Wake up. The Christian life is serious. These are serious things that we're talking about, Bunyan is saying. So, the first lesson here, and there are going to be at least three, and there may be four, but there are going to be at least three lessons. The first lesson is that the Christianity teaches us the need to persevere. To persevere and to stay awake. 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. This is a very, well, it's a very Puritan thing. It's a very 17th century emphasis. It was typical of Bunyan, and it was typical of those who surround Bunyan, who preached the Bible as the word of God in Bunyan's time, to emphasize the need to examine oneself, self-examination. Ask yourself, am I a true believer or am I a pretender? Am I someone who thinks I'm a believer, but actually I'm not? I'm Mr. Simple. I'm Mr. Slothful. I'm Mr. Presumption. And although we may conclude I am none of those three, all of us will conclude, if we're honest, we see something of that sometimes in us. J.C. Ryle, 19th century Anglican bishop, Liverpool, two of his most famous books. One is Holiness, the other is Practical Religion. And the opening chapter of Holiness is a chapter on sin. It would never get published today. You know, out of the starting blocks, he has this tirade about sin. The opening chapter on Practical Religion is a chapter on self-inquiry. Self-inquiry. Examine yourselves. He takes a text from Acts 16 where Paul says, let's go back to the towns and cities where we have been to see how they are doing. That's his text. As Paul goes back on the journey that he had made, the first missionary journey, and he begins to examine now how those people who professed faith, who professed to be converted, to see how they're doing. Self-inquiry. What would they find? Would they find that every one of them is steadfast? Every one of them is growing? You know, where are you in relation to where you were a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago? Have you grown? Have you grown in your understanding? Have you grown in your love? Have you grown in your affections for Jesus? Have you grown in the way Christianity manifests itself on a day-to-day basis in works and deeds? Examine yourself. That's what Bunyan is saying. He's drawing out, you see, what Jesus warns at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. They might have a lot of talk, orthodox talk, but not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom of God. Will you? That's what this book is designed to do. It's a wonderful story. Dr. Ferguson and I were just commenting one day last week, what an extraordinary book this is. Just the depth of insight that this man had into not just the Bible, but human character. Actually, it's as though Bunyan knows stuff about us. You know? He's read our personal diaries because he so accurately can reflect things that you thought were private thoughts that you sometimes had that you'd be ashamed to admit to. So Bunyan is doing, you know, he's being a pastor. And think about this, he's in prison. But because he's confined in prison, his usefulness isn't over. Actually, his pastoral usefulness isn't over. He's engaging in ministry within the providence that God has opened up for him. And he's doing it through a book. A book that would be read in 2011 in, what is this? Jackson Hall? What is this? Jackson Hall. This is Jackson Hall. So let me ask you, where are you in terms of your reading of the Bible in comparison to 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Where are you in terms of your love for Jesus? Do you love him more now than you did 5 years ago? Because if you're not growing, then you're standing still. Or maybe you're actually retreating. The fact that you're here, yes, the fact that you're here indicates something. But what is it indicating? What is God saying to you? Right now, this evening, in this season of your life. That's what Bunyan wants you to think about as you read this story. Because these three, simple, sloth, and presumption, are right there where the tomb is. You know, he hasn't deviated off the path and found them wandering in places they shouldn't have been. They're right there on the path. They think that everything is fine, and it isn't. You know, in part two of the story, well, shall I tell them? You know, we're thinking. It's not set in. We're thinking that maybe in the spring we'll do part two. You know, we'll do Mrs. Christian's story and the four boys, the family story. It's all very well for us to know that Christian got home to the celestial city, but what about the wife and the children? You know, in part two, you know, she will traverse this same journey. Do you know what she sees when she comes to this spot? She sees simple, sloth, and presumption hanging from a tree. It's very chilling. It's very chilling. They're just sleeping now. They're just indifferent now. But in a few years from now, when Mrs. Christian makes this journey, they will be dead. And it'll be too late. You know, Bunyan is saying, today, while it is called today, seek the Lord. Give three leaps for joy and start singing. Persevere. Don't stop. Don't stop. And whatever you do, don't go back. Don't retreat. Now, Christian moves on, and he discovers two men at the. It's just before the hill. And at the bottom of the hill, there are two roads, one going left, one going right. He sees two men jump over the wall. They've come onto the way illegally. They haven't entered by the wicket gate. They haven't come in by that narrow gate that leads to a narrow road. They have somehow jumped the wall and come onto this way. They're called formalist and hypocrisy. Lesson number two is about the heart. Lesson number one was about perseverance. Lesson number two is about the heart. And Bunyan is saying to you, Christianity requires heart engagement. You know, if you're going to be on the narrow way, your heart must be involved. It can't be merely formality. It can't be what Bunyan calls hypocrisy. What Paul refers to in 2 Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Now, turn to page 44. Because Bunyan begins a conversation with these two. He begins to challenge them. How come that they've entered into this way illegally? And there's a fascinating discussion back and forth between formalist and hypocrisy and Christian. Formalist and hypocrisy both say to them, and this is halfway down page 44, they told him that as for that, he need not trouble his head thereabout, for what they did, they have custom for. People have been jumping walls and getting in to the road for 1,000 years. There's nothing. Why do you chastise? People have always been doing this. And then Christian says, and I want you to hear this. It's a chilling question. But said Christian, will it stand trial at law? Bunyan is saying here, through Christian, that a trial is coming. a day of reckoning is coming. A day of judgment is coming. All you lawyers here, and there are lots of lawyers in here tonight. You know, this is, you need to bookmark this page. Will it stand a trial at law? You know, one day we're going to have to give an account. And how are you going to answer the question, on what basis can you be allowed into the kingdom of heaven? On what basis will the doors of the celestial city open for you? What's your answer to that question tonight? But when you arrive at the doors of the celestial city and you ask for them to be open, on what basis will they open for you? Why should God allow you into his heaven? On what basis do you think that you're going to get into heaven? Now, as you read this dialogue between formalist and hypocrisy, they believe that they will get into heaven on the basis of their own obedience, on the basis of their own works. You know, Christian says to them, look, the basis on which I will enter that celestial city is my sins have been forgiven. I've been given a robe of righteousness, and I have a sealed parchment, a sealed roll. That's the basis. In other words, in the allegory, he's saying, the basis on which I will get into heaven is what Jesus has done for me. He's taken my sins, he's reckoned his righteousness to my account. And the basis of my assurance is what Jesus has done. That's what Bunyan is saying. What's your answer? I belong to First Presbyterian Church in Columbia, South Carolina, that has a history of 200 years. On what basis will those doors open and a voice will be heard, come, enter? Is it your membership in church? Is it I attended every single lesson on Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? Are you just a formal Christian? And Bunyan, it is so clever. Bunyan says, do you know what a formal Christian is? Or a hypocrite. What the Puritans of the 17th century called gospel hypocrites. People who thought they were right with God when actually they weren't. Because they were basing their assurance of their relationship with God on who they were, or what they had done, or the company that they had kept, or the tradition that they were following. Do you have that which will stand a trial of law? Do you know, I can't imagine a more important question for us to address tonight. On a personal level, do I have that which will stand a trial of law when I stand before the judgment throne, the great white throne? When I stand before a holy God, what will I say? Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, look to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. What's the basis on which I will stand a trial of law? Jesus did it all. He did it all. That's my argument. What is your argument when you come before a holy God? Jesus did it all. Then Christian comes to the hill called difficulty. There are two ways. One goes in one direction. It's called the way of destruction. Another goes in another direction. It's called the way of danger. Formalist and hypocrisy. One goes one way. One goes the other. They're never heard of again. They come to ruin. But straight ahead is a hill called difficulty. At the bottom of the hill, there's a spring of water. It's Bunyan's way of saying, you know, the Christian life is hard and harder. The Christian life is often about adversity. It's often about difficulty. You know, you must be prepared to suffer trial. You must be prepared to be buffeted about. You must be prepared to expect all kinds of threats, all kinds of hostility. It's a narrow road. It's about denying self. It's about saying no to temptation. It's about guarding yourself from the threats of the evil one. It's about meeting people like sloth and presumption. It's about meeting people like formalist and hypocrisy who may tempt you to make the path easier, to choose the easier path. It's about what Dr. Ferguson was talking about on Sunday in the life of Joseph. That the way to grow is often the way of adversity. The way to grow up is to grow down. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that there are hills called difficulty. But at the bottom, there's a spring from which you may drink and get some refreshment. Every time there's adversity, God is right there to help you, to enable you. No temptation has overtaken us, but such as is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, also provide the way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Now, halfway up this hill, there's an arbor. It's a place of rest, and Bunyan describes it on page 46. This arbor, about two-thirds of the way down, this arbor was made by the Lord of the hill for the refreshing of weary travelers. And Christian sits down in this arbor. And he thinks about his garment, his robe that has been given to him. And he falls asleep. He's been warned of the dangers, but he falls asleep. And the scroll, the sealed roll, drops out of his hand. All of a sudden, somebody wakes him up and says to him, quotes from Proverbs 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." Ants are always busy. And Christians ought always to be busy. Watch out for falling asleep on duty. He meets at the top of the hill as he's running now. He's woken up in a daze. You know when you take a nap in the afternoon? Who wants to admit to taking a nap in the afternoon and you wake up in a daze and you're running but you're not sure where you're going? He meets two people, Timorous and Mistrust. Aren't they beautifully named? Timorous and Mistrust, and they're coming backwards. They have gone on this journey, but they have seen lions, two lions in the way, and they are terrified, and they are running backwards. And then all of a sudden, Christian realizes, as he begins to think about the dangers now that seem to lie ahead of him, he wants this sealed role that's going to give him comfort, that assures him of his relationship with the Lord, and he hasn't got it. And on pages 48 and 49, there's a very graphic, it's all in italics. It's unclear why in the original editions of Bunyan, printers decided to put some parts in italics, and this is reflecting the original edition here. But all that bit in italics from pages 48 and 49, this vivid description of Christian in terror. He's lost, in the allegory, he's lost his assurance. Do you know what a wonderful thing it is to have assurance? To know your right standing with God. To sing blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We love to sing that. What a wonderful thing it is to have assurance. But here's the third lesson. You can lose your assurance. You can lose your assurance for all kinds of reasons. You can lose your assurance because of Satan. You can lose your assurance sometimes because of your temperament. But sometimes you can lose your assurance because you sin. Because you sin. And you begin to reason, well, if I've sinned, if I have fallen in this way, it must mean that I'm no longer in a right relationship with the Lord. And you have to go back, and how do you get back to that place of assurance? You go back to the point at which assurance came in the first place. You go back to the cross. You go back to Jesus. You say, Jesus died for sins. He died for all sins. He died for this sin. Lord, I'm so sorry. Thank you for dying even for this sin. Christian has to go all the way back to the arbor and eventually find it. It's underneath the seat in the arbor, this assurance. And look on page 49, almost right at the bottom of page 49. This role, Bunyan says, for this role was the assurance of his life and acceptance at the desired haven. Therefore, he laid it up in his bosom, gave thanks to God for directing his eye to the place where it lay, and with joy and tears betook himself again to his journey. But oh, how nimbly did he go up the rest of the hill. You know, when you know the Lord is on your side, when you know that you're in a right relationship with God, when you know that you are justified, that you stand in a right relationship with God on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven, how nimbly it puts a skip in your step. It makes every day so much more wonderful and glorious, because you are the Lord's, because you're a forgiven man and a forgiven woman. Now, what is Bunyan saying to us here? That the Christian life is best lived and ought to be lived with assurance. With assurance. So make sure that you pursue that narrow way of wholehearted obedience to the Savior and perseverance in his ways. And oh, what pain comes and what distress comes when you take your eye off the cross, when you take your eye off Jesus, when you begin to serve yourself, when in the allegory he falls asleep, when that vigor that should mark the Christian life seems to have gone out. Now, he's going to come, as he makes this nimble journey now, he's going to come to a place that is called, on the map, look at the map, it's called the top of hill difficulty, a palace called Beautiful. What is the palace called Beautiful? What is it? And it's the church. It's a picture of a church. Bunyan is describing a very personal story here. It's an individual story, but he's now going to tell you this journey isn't being made alone. It's being made in company and in fellowship with brothers and sisters. And there's a place along the way of this journey where it's like being in a palace. It's like being in one of the best hotels that you've ever stayed in all your life. I was asked to speak one time at a conference in Florida, and they put me up in somebody's second beach home, or was it his third or fourth beach home, and it was fabulous. Just for 2 days, I pretended that I had this life that other people seem to live. And it had this incredible hi-fi system. And I had some CDs in my car, and I brought them up, and I put this hi-fi on, and this music, it was Beethoven, I'm pretty sure. And the view was exquisite. And there was food left there for me. The only downside was my wife wasn't with me. I was all alone. But the house called Beautiful. As you read on through the house called Beautiful, and ask yourself, as you're reading, doing your homework this week, ask yourself, is this what church is like for you? I mean, is this what, if you were describing the church, is this how you would describe it? The house called Beautiful. Now let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this wonderful story. It is both glorious and serious. And we pray for seriousness on our part to persevere in this journey. To persevere knowing that you are the one who works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Keep us from sleeping. Help us to remember the aunt and to be busy in Jesus and looking to him every step of the way. For Jesus' sake, amen.